Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Of course, your host William Rameau, and on the other line is, of course, as always, Macaulay Matthew. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there right now?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to have you on the show. You know, we're gonna talk about stuff in the world of sports. You know, the NBA All-Star game that's coming up tomorrow night. Talk about the latest story that seemed like it was ending, but now it's apparently never ending now. So soap opera here. We'll get to the latest on that. Also talk about what happened at Elimination Chamber. You know, major stuff happened with SmackDown and Raw. We'll get to that. Of course, we're going to talk about the Festival of Friendship and, you know, so much more. And we'll even give my little personal take on the Stranger Things show, even though I'm late to the party. You know, it came out like last year in July, but I'm finally starting to watch it after you got me to check it out. So I'll give my thoughts on it so far. Almost done with season one. So I'm in season six right as we speak. So actually episode six. So I'll get into that. But of course, I'm glad to have you on the show, Mac, and I'm glad for you guys to listen to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. Anytime, man. So I'm glad, you guys are listening to this newest episode. And, I want to thank you again for your continued support. But before we get to, the important stuff at hand, I'd be remiss if we don't talk about the latest stuff that happened in WWE, the passing of wrestling legends. excuse me. Recently, Chavo Guerrero Sr., obviously the father of Chavo Guerrero Jr. and the brother of Eddie Guerrero, he passed away recently. And then just recently also, Ivan Koloff, the former WWF champion who defeated Bruno Sammartino. He ended his streak, his epic streak, I believe, at the Garden, which is the ultimate heel move, because Bruno Sammartino, he was Hulk Hogan before Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania happened. He was a big draw. I mean, for many decades, he was very popular, 50s, 60s, 70s. His career came to the end in the 80s. He finally went to the Hall of Fame. I'm, of course, talking about Sammartino, of course, just a few years ago. But, Ivan Koloff, he was – I think his nickname was Cabrera. I'm not sure, but you know, he was a very popular heel. Before Iron Sheik, was an anti-American villain, and then of course another legend is of course George the Animal Steele. Most notably, his involvement in that what many people consider the best, match period, or especially WrestleMania match. And of course, I'm talking about Iron Man, Macho Man, Randy Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. When Macho Man was defending the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania 3. As you all remember, Jersey Animal Steel, was in Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's corner. But now, all those three legends, Guerrero, Karloff, and Steel, now they've all passed away, and my condolences go out to their entire family.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad, all those WWE legends, George the Animal Steel. I remember watching old footage of him, especially that classic WrestleMania, WrestleMania 3, when he got involved, Macho Man Ricky Steamboat, and see his antics and his signature of eating the turnbuckle. He's a great wrestler. And Chavo, I never saw Chavo Guerrero Sr. I never saw him perform, but I've heard a lot about him. And it's a sad day for wrestling. And my condolences go out to the family and friends of those wrestlers.
Yeah. Another thing about Drew Daniels, still, he had that weird green tongue.
Yeah, and he was hairy.
And like you said, that's another notable characteristic of his. Those guys, will all be missed. Sad day. Sad wrestling week.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I remember, Nicole Bass also passed away, too.
Oh, yeah, you just remind me, even though I don't really consider her she was like a...
Right.
Yeah, I don't consider her like... She was like... she was in wrestling, for several months, as part of, the Whack Pack, whatever you want to call them. And, she was a... I don't know. She was in China or anything like that, but.
Well, yeah, nah. Yeah, she was definitely like a bodybuilder, but not like. She wasn't like a phenomenon like China was, obviously.
Yeah, but she made appearances here and there in WWE and some other wrestling organizations, but said that we lost her as well. So my condolences to her and her and family.
Exactly. Yeah, condolences go out to her family as well. We'll talk more about, what's going on in wrestling, later on in the show. I know I'm late to the party, but, let's talk about Stranger Things, man. My thoughts on the show is that, I wish I was able to finish this episode 6 and the final 2 episodes of the season to give you, a more of a fuller summary. But, it's a really awesome show. I love retro stuff, and my favorite decade, is, the 80s, 80s and 90s, whatchamacallit, watching stuff from that era. So having a show, a modern-day show that, takes place in the 80s and it gives a homage to all those great movies and TV shows that came out in the era, it's really cool. I mean, the show kind of reminded me of, Firestarter, a movie I haven't seen, but you told me so much about,
yep.
Stand By Me. I'm trying to think whether...
Poltergeist.
With the camaraderie, the four kids.
Star Wars.
So many other shows and movies. Star Wars, they had some references of Star Wars.
Yeah, even like the show titles, like the Star Wars title. You know, that's where they got it from.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, especially the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, the font looks very similar to that. Even
yeah.
The color scheme and everything, the red and black, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the directors
are good, man. You've been lobby.
Yeah, I mean, the directors, you know, they're a big fan of the work of Steven Spielberg, John Carpenter, Stephen King, Wes Craven, George Lucas. Mm-hmm. So they drew a lot, you know, they were inspired by those directors' work and used some things from those directors' work to create Stranger Things. And, you know, it's worked. You know, this show has become a phenomenon, and second season is close by. You know, it's in October and Halloween, so I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you make a very awesome point. You know, they were inspired by George Lucas. One of their inspirations was George Lucas. And if you know a little bit about Star Wars, he was inspired by a lot of stuff, especially most notably the Flash Gordon shows from, like, what was it, like the 40s, 1940s?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he got the whole episode stuff and having the, you know, the crawl in the beginning when they, like, you just dive into the middle of the action and they explain what you've missed. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right, right.
The thing is scrolling up. So basically that, you know, some, you know, other, like, Seven Samurai, I think the movie is called Seven Samurai. A lot of, you know, like, action films, you know, westerns, you know, Japanese, you know, samurai films and stuff like that. So they took the best of, just like Lucas before them, the Duffer Brothers, just like Lucas did, the Duffer Brothers took stuff that they were inspired, you know, from and put it together, and it works. That's when Hollywood is innovative.
Mm-hmm.
When you take some ideas from other stuff, give it different names, and have, you know, like, similar archetypes from popular shows and movies, and you do something original with it. You know what I'm saying? Unlike nowadays reboots, they take the same title of a movie or show or cartoon, they use the same names, the same titles, and then they recast them with younger actors and think they're going to get the same magic from the classic, and it never works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
So, you know, kudos to the Duffer Brothers, you know, being, you know, innovative, you know.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
You know, coming up with this awesome series. I definitely want to check it out. I definitely want to finish the rest of this series, hopefully by the end of this weekend. So, definitely awesome show. Shout out to them. And I'm psyched about, you know, Walking Dead, you know, that episode that just passed last week. You know, Rick and Daryl, they finally got their senses back, and, you know, they look like they're gonna try to go to war with Negan in the future. So,
I mean, Negan.
Negan in the future. What did I say?
Yeah, I said governor. I mean, Negan.
Oh.
Governor's been long dead.
I didn't even hear you say that.
But yeah, I'm excited for that. You know, I think I wasn't expecting the war to be until next season, but it looks like they're expediting things on the show right now.
Yeah, but King Ezekiel, as of right now, he's not ready for the battle, you know. So,
but the thing about
it, I assume he will, you know, assume he will join the you know, the battle. And my thinking, if you saw at the end of the show, Rick was happy, was smiling. He saw somebody, you know, or something made him smile. I'm guessing my assumption would be maybe Carol came back with a new group or something, but we'll find out tomorrow, you know, when the episode returns.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's been an awesome season with Walking Dead so far. So,
yeah.
See what happens. But moving back to sports, you know, spring training just happened, you know, just started. And basically, you know, Cespedes, you know, looks like he's motivated. He's really motivated. He got the contract, and you know, he's not doing the dog and pony shows kind of stuff. He didn't show up with the you know, awesome cars that he had last year. He didn't come on a horse. It looks like it's, you know, they're getting down to business. You know, obviously, he thinks they have a great chance to win. Another X factor is Travis d'Arnaud. You know, they need him to improve on his offense. They got a new third base coach in Spurlock, who also was in the Yankees organization after being with the D-backs for a long time. And he's also serving as a catching instructor. So they're really working with d'Arnaud in every facet of the game, especially the defensive side, because he was a defensive liability. I mean, you know, Steven Wonder tying his hands behind his back would have better accuracy than Travis d'Arnaud right now, because he was really horrible last year. He couldn't catch a cold, you know, if he you know, he moved to Antarctica. You know, it was really bad. It was really bad. You know, offensively, defensively, and he has to be the key. I know he's young. He has so much potential in every facet of the game. And, you know, they didn't go after a veteran catcher like, Weeders or trying to think of the catcher from Nationals. His name escapes me for the moment. Ramos. Wilson Ramos, they didn't go after him either. So they're putting a lot of faith in the young catcher, d'Arnaud, and they're expecting a lot of big things from him. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Mets, and of course that impending possible suspension with Familia with the off the field domestic dispute he had earlier in the off season. So that's another black cloud hanging on the team, not to mention the injury bug. You know, Harvey's trying to come back from the injury. Of course, Wheeler had a little discomfort earlier this week, and this guy's been trying to come back to pitch. He hasn't pitched in 2 years, so that's another thing to worry about. Harvey, you know, he's trying to bounce back from that brutal year he had because he was pitching hurt. So, you know, the Mets have a lot to try to rebound. You know, after getting eliminated in the playoff game, you know, the one-game playoff, you know, against Madison Bumgarner and the San Francisco Giants, you know. So hopefully the healthy Mets will have an 86 type year this year, but they need a lot of stuff to happen. They need the pitchers to stay healthy, and they need timely hitting. So
yeah,
and to improve on the defense, and a lot of it rests on d'Arnaud's shoulders, and hopefully Wright can, you know, stay a little bit healthy, because you can't expect this guy to play 162 games anymore. They're going to need to rely a lot on Reyes and Flores, so see what happens.
Yeah.
And then moving on with the Yankees and, you know, the Yankees, they went into, like, an arbitration battle with Betanzas, and, you know, Betanzas, you know, found out the stuff that they said behind closed doors about him, basically saying that Betanzas, you know, is an elite closer. He's a setup guy, and, you know, his feelings got hurt. And, you know, that's why, you know, these play the teams are, you know, try so hard not to go into salary arbitration with their players, because when they go into salary arbitration, they got to see, you know, a judge. They go in on the players and they rip apart every flaw, because, you know, the organizations, you know, they pat their players on the back and say, oh, you're great, you're going to be this, you're going to be awesome, you're going to be the greatest of all time. And then when they get to salary arbitration, they rip you a new one, and, you know, they just pick apart every weakness. Oh, you know Superman? Did you know he had he has a weakness to kryptonite? He's not that great. He's not that super. You know that? And then these organizations, they just pick apart your every flaw to try to win the case. And that's one of the sad parts about sports. You know, it's a business. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes your favorite players, you know, go for the highest bid. And, you know, you go to another team, even your rival team. And sometimes the ownership, they trade away your favorite player, you know. So, you know, it's hard to be a sports fan at times, but it's part of life. And, you know, that's how these players and people in, you know, these GMs, you know, they think of it as a business. But, you know, it's refreshing to see some guys, you know, they wear their hearts on their sleeve. Like Flores a few years ago when he thought he was getting traded, the fans really found out how much he cared about the Mets. And you know about Jeter, who was with the Yankees for so many years, his entire career. And you know, he bled purple and stripes, so
yeah.
You know, it's still refreshing to see that there's still guys, you know, who obviously they want to get a paycheck too. You know, they want to make a name for themselves. They want to go into the Hall of Fame. They want to win as many championships. But it's refreshing to see there's still guys who have loyalty to their teams.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. And speaking of players with loyalty to their team, Carmelo Anthony, he goes into his he goes into the All-Star game tomorrow night. This is going to be his 10th All-Star game appearance after he, ironically, is replacing Kevin Love, who got injured, who was rumored to be, you know, pursued by the Knicks in a trade, you know, in exchange for Melo. And
Love is injured now.
You know, yeah, Love is injured, and as a result of Love's injury, Carmelo Anthony is going to the All-Star game, so his streak continues. I think this is like his 7th straight as a Knick, so his streak continues.
I heard that he already made trips to go to Puerto Rico and Cuba, but he has to replace Kevin Love, he had to cancel that trip.
Yeah, so basically, because of his trip, he has to say no mas to his early vacation.
Yeah.
He got to – I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to have to, I don't know, give it to Phil Jackson.
I guess. Or just be refunded.
Yeah. Something. I heard it was non-refundable.
Yeah, it probably is.
You know.
Flights are usually non-refundable, so it probably is.
But yeah, if it was up to Phil Jackson, he'd to reschedule for Cleveland or LA. So you know, before next week, you know, unless Melo is going to Melo gives it, and I think it's. You know, I'm surprised if he's created. You know, the and being a free and luckier, I try to be acid, you know. I'm going to be forced to come, but they never was, and, you know, and,
hey, well, the phone's breaking out a bit.
I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah, you're breaking up. Yeah. It looks like you're going in and out a little bit, but it's you're still going in and out a little bit. It looks like.
That's what I did.
Yeah, the connection's bad right now.
Oh man, but hopefully, you know, we'll see what the Knicks are gonna do this. You know, before the training deadline, if they'll try to improve the team,
I can hear you much better now.
The entire team. All right, cool. I'm glad to hear that. Let's shift gears to WWE. Basically, Theodore Long, you know, the longtime. You know, referee and manager with WCW and WWE, and of course, most recently, a SmackDown GM for many, many years, the longest tenured GM. He finally takes his rightful place in the Hall of Fame. So he joins Kurt Angle, and the Rock and Roll Express. As this year's inductees into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to all these men. DDP is also rumored to be going into the Hall of Fame, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. So maybe we'll find out on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, congrats to Theodore Long. And wasn't China in this Hall of Fame, or was that last year?
No, China's never been in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, right.
Austin was lobbying for her to be in the Hall of Fame after she passed away, and they were he was doing an interview with Triple H, which, you know, a lot of people, I guess, view that question cringeworthy because WWE didn't like the realness of the interviews, Austin's interviews, because Austin really went in, especially most notably the last live WWE network one with Dean Ambrose when he was, you know, questioning Dean Ambrose, you know, motivation to try to, as a champion, he felt he lost the chip on his shoulder. He lost the hunger because, you know, he made it, you know, he finally reached the mountaintop that nobody thought he would. You know, except for the fans. So, so Stone Cold, you know, was trying to challenge him to see if he could take his game to the next level now that he's a champion. So, as a result, WWE looks like they killed all their shoot interviews that they had, you know, recently, and even JBL's show, his shows is no longer going to be on the WWE network either. The Legends, the JBL show. So.
Oh really?
Yeah. So WWE looks like they're done with those type of, you know, interview shows. And even Y2J, he hasn't had his Talk with Jericho show on.
For a while.
WWE network either. So. They're done with that now.
Well, Jericho is busy getting betrayed by Kevin Owens.
Oh yeah, let's dive into that before we go into the Elimination Chamber. Oh man, what a segment! That was the best segment, you know, with the exclusion of, you know, Rock's promos that he's had, you know, over the years, you know, with most notably the Cena feud that he had, like in 2011, 2012.
Yeah,
man, this is probably the best skit I've seen. You know, excluding those kids, since probably the This Is Your Life with Mankind and you know, The Rock from like a long, long time ago during the Rock and Sock Connection. It was so perfect. I mean, you know, the writing was on the wall when Triple H was talking to Kevin Owens privately without Jericho there, I was like, man, it's going down tonight. And with the festival, it's definitely going down tonight. This is the perfect way for this, you know, the feud, alliance between them to go down, because it was just brilliantly performed by WWE. I mean,
yeah.
Kudos to Jericho being over the top, even over the top for Jericho. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, he had the dancing girls, the paintings, the work of art. It was like, it was really a masterpiece. I guess pun not intended, but it was really a work of art. Well, okay, I guess this time that was a pun intended, but everything was masterful. Even Friendship the Magician, everything was awesome. You know, Jericho was over the top. Kevin Owens was the perfect guy, you know, to play it off of, you know, being the serious guy, not laughing to all the ridiculous stuff Jericho was doing. It was just an awesome skit. It was it was flawless.
I was not expecting that to happen.
I thought it was gonna happen. And the Jericho. Oh, so you didn't expect Kevin Owens to attack Jericho?
No, I didn't. I didn't expect that to happen at that moment, because I thought it was just gonna be like a Rock and a Mankind, you know, celebration type of thing, you know, to celebrate, like when Mankind celebrated his birthday. I thought, you know, just it was gonna be like a friendly thing for Jericho to do, just to celebrate, you know, his friendship with Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens would just backstab him like that. I was not expecting that.
Yeah,
that completely surprised me.
Oh, then they did an even more phenomenal job then, because I saw it because I was in my mind, I'm like, there's rumors that they're gonna, you know, feud. So I'm like, this is the perfect time for him to turn on him, because they're not gonna have a better skit to do it for Kevin Owens to turn on him, because everybody was pro Jericho, everybody was pro Kevin, you know, Team Kevin and Chris and Chris and Kevin, and Jericho was like, it was awesome. So for Kevin Owens to turn, I mean, Kevin Owens was already a heel, but this was like the first time a heel became full-on heel.
Right.
I mean, he was already a heel to begin with, but it's like they just restarted him to – it's like Kevin Owens is back to the way he was before being a champion.
Right.
You know, the way how he was when he was Kevin Steen, or when he was Kevin Owens in NXT, and when he came up when he feuded with Cena. Like, Kevin Owens is back. I mean, he's on full heel mode. I mean, he was always a heel, but, you know, he got the fan reaction. This really put him over the top to get him that heel reaction, you know, like when he turned on Sami Zayn in NXT, but to the 100th power right there. I mean, it was awesome. And then having you know, the list of Jericho with Chris Jericho's name on it, that was an extra. That was awesome there. And then, of course, to cap off the beatdown, he smashed Jericho into the TV, which is reminiscent to what Jericho did to Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels was attacked by Jericho when he turned heel, I think in 2008. So that was a nice little throwback to that. So,
yeah.
I mean, phenomenal.
It
was a perfect 10 all around. Best played it beautifully. So,
yeah, this will now set up the match between them at WrestleMania. It should be probably the best match on the card. You know, hopefully.
Yeah, because most likely, you know, Goldberg is going to take the title off Kevin Owens' hands at the pay-per-view, and probably Jericho will cost him the title.
I think so.
Will probably cost him the title, and he'll start his feud with Kevin Owens. I assume I assume Kevin Owens will cost Jericho the United States title to probably Sami Zayn or somebody like that. And then they'll just have a 1-on-1 matchup at WrestleMania for no titles, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so it's really awesome. And then on Raw, what was I going to say? You know, Bayley, she won the women's title from, you know, from Charlotte, which, I mean, it, you know, congratulations to her, a great moment for her. But you know what changed the moment? Basically, you know what this means? She's going to lose the title back to Charlotte at Fastlane because, remember, they've been bragging about, you know, Charlotte, you know, being Miss pay-per-view event. And there's no way they're going to make her lose her pay-per-view event, the pay-per-view just before WrestleMania. And that's why they ruined Bayley's moment. They should have waited until WrestleMania for it to go down. Or at WrestleMania. Sasha beat Charlotte at WrestleMania and postpone Bayley's title, first ever title win.
You know, I don't understand why Daryl is making Charlotte lose at on Raw. Like, and that should have been a match for WrestleMania, man.
Thank
and
you. See?
I don't know why they keep doing that.
You agree with me. You agree with me. Because this time, unlike the other times when Sasha won on Raw, we were like, wow, she won. She won again. And then because we didn't even know that WWE was doing this about the Miss pay-per-view stuff. So there's 99.9999999% chance that Charlotte will win the title back at Fastlane. Because there's no, like I said, there's no way she's going to lose her streak, the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So the Bayley win is meaningless. Yeah, she's a champion. Congratulations to Bayley. But she's only holding on to the title until Fastlane. There's no element of surprise to Bayley losing at Fastlane. You could literally count down the days to when she loses. They wasted that opportunity. And now it even devalues Charlotte's feud with Sasha, like that she took the title off her because Bayley did the same thing too.
Yeah, you're only making her hold the title for 1 month before she loses. I mean,
well, actually less than one. Whenever the pay-per-view event is, you know.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a joke. She's just like Kevin right now. Kevin was just holding the title until Goldberg gets it back from him, like Goldberg said. So, yeah, let's dive into the Elimination Chamber. Mojo Rawley defeated Curt Hawkins. Becky Lynch defeated Mickie James, you know, via pinfall. I think we both called that. Or did we? Yeah, I think we both. I think I said that.
So which match is this again?
The matches, Becky Lynch versus Mickie James.
Oh yeah. I thought. Let me see. For that match, I thought. This is their second match, right? That they've had, or is this the first one?
No. That was their first match. Every match. Which Mickie James, of course, won, you know, they had 53 bookings. Becky won at Elimination Chamber. Mickie James won in the rematch on SmackDown. They waited way too early to do that. They should have kept that. They should have put it for WrestleMania or something like that to build up the rematch. 53.
I thought Mickie James would have won at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, well, she won at SmackDown now, which Mickie. 50-50 booking, because every time when they do these stupid rematches so early, like the day or two afterwards, it's always the other person always wins. You know, the SummerSlam after WrestleMania 10, You know, they, you know, Razor Ramon won at WrestleMania. Shawn Michaels got the, you know, that the win afterwards in their rematch.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Apollo Crews versus Kalisto. I mean, Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler, the match nobody cared about. You know, Dolph Ziggler injured, you know, Kalisto before the match, and then, you know, Dolph Ziggler, what did he, oh, yeah, he Dolph Ziggler lost, and he attacked both guys with chairs. Nobody cared about that match, to the point that everybody was saying thank you to Ziggler after he injured both of them with a chair. That should have never happened. Easily the weakest match of the night. Then you had the Tag Team Turmoil, American Alpha. They defeated all the teams in SmackDown. And the Ascension looked like they were going to win their first tag team titles after Uso jumped the American Alpha, you know, after Usos got eliminated. And it still wasn't enough. American Alpha won. And basically, SmackDown has no division.
Yeah, I had a feeling American Alpha was going to retain it.
Yeah, I thought they were going to retain it until after the Uso attack. Then I was like, no, I thought that was going to happen. Then Nikki Bella versus Natalya ended in the count out. Another snooze fest. Here's another, here's awesome match. Randy Orton versus Luke Harper. You know, awesome. And then, you know, Harper was going to go for that the discus clothesline, and Randy Orton hit an RKO out of nowhere, and Randy Orton, you know, won, of course. The women's match, here's a shocker. Naomi won her first title versus Alexa Bliss, which I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
so, I know it would be a good match, but Naomi winning was a nice expected thing. Unexpected thing, so congrats to them. And what I was hoping and expecting, Bray Wyatt finally won.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that might happen when Bray Wyatt was making an entrance and he was passing by everybody inside the pod. I'm like, okay, maybe this might symbolize that, you know, he's psyching everybody out. He eliminated Cena. I was like, wow. This might really happen. And then afterwards, you know, he fought with AJ for 5 minutes and hit the Sister Caliber Gale to counter the final storm. And he was champion. So congratulations to Bray Wyatt. Long overdue.
Congrats.
And I'm happy for him. And then SmackDown. About time. And then on SmackDown, he defended the title against AJ Styles and, you know, Cena and pinned Cena. And apparently, according to Xbox, Cena lobbied for, you know, Bray Wyatt to defeat him cleanly.
Yeah, I heard about
congratulations
that.
Congratulations to John Cena. You know, he's, you know, putting people over. He's been putting people a lot over lately. You know, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles last year, you know, D. Bryan. During his championship run a few years ago. So he's finally, you know, respecting his veteran role. And, you know, John Cena is going to win back the title eventually. And you know, there's going to be a battle royale on SmackDown because Randy Orton refuses to battle him. So the rumor is that Luke Harper might win it and force it into a triple threat Wyatt family thing, which I think is going to go down. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's I expect Cena to win the title again at WrestleMania. That way he could break the record. You know, and that Elimination Chamber, you know, I thought it was going to be either Cena retaining title or Bray Wyatt winning it. So I wasn't that surprised when Bray Wyatt won the title. But, yeah, he's only, just like Bayley, he's only going to hold that title for less than a month, so...
Yeah. But, you know, it's good to finally... We're going to have it until WrestleMania, April 3rd, I think.
Well,
so gonna have it a little...
as of right now, he'd be fighting Randy Orton, right?
He's going to be fighting Randy Orton. Well, Randy Orton, remember, he refused. Randy Orton refused at the end of SmackDown to face him. So more likely, Luke Harper is going to win the Battle Royale on Tuesday night. And then it's going to go make it a triple threat and, you know, accept his win and make it a unofficial handicap match against Harper. But it's really a triple threat match.
Right.
That's what I think is going to happen. But yes, WWE is being a lot interesting now.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is going to go down with WWE future. But, you know, we'll keep you posted. Anything you'd like to?
Thanks for having me on the show. And come back here, guys, and check out Sports Real Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Co Radio.
You're the man. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. I couldn't do it without you guys, ladies and gentlemen, of course. And I'll see you guys next week. And peace. Bye, folks.